I don't know why so much of my advice I don't fucking listen to.
Tell me about it.
On episode 18 of Convergence, an exciting idea is revealed about God Mode. Mark has a very awkward phone call, and Brendan has taken over editing this show. So check out the AI-written show notes and enjoy the episode.
I've got a full set of dentures. No, actually, that's not true. I have two working, unbroken sets of dentures. They're not even full
and
yet.
You look handsome.
Thank you so much.
You do, actually. It's kind of ridiculous.
I'm not used to being an attractive person. I thought for my whole life.
Look, I mean, look at that. Look at that face.
I know. I can't stop looking at it either. I'm so happy with how I look. It's insane.
So captivating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I walk by a mirror and I'm like, ooh.
Hey.
Ooh, doing something right.
Who's this guy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's me? Oh my God. It was so funny. When I was sick, I was feeling so horrible. And I was just lying in bed for a while. And then I got up and I didn't really notice myself in the bathroom, in the mirror, like I had been. And then I noticed myself as I'm like kind of coming out of the sickness, but I still feel kind of crappy. And I'm like, oh, I still look good on the outside.
Still looking sharp.
My outsides aren't reflecting my insides like they used to. Oh, that's amazing. There's a new date for the silent retreat. I'm going to do that in the end of March. So I'm really excited for that. So I'll be able to sing my song again at some point. And
I walked out of, so I just bought some ingredients with which to make a chili.
Yummy.
This time I'm trying stewing beef. I'm cooking it slow. See what happens. Because usually a British chili, because we don't really know how to make chili.
Sure.
So what we make is spicy bolognese.
Okay.
So we use the minces. I mean, it's still delicious.
Yeah.
But I just thought, actually, no, let's just go for a change. Let's go for some cubes of stewing beef. And so I'm hoping it will, you know, after searing it, I'm hoping it will, you know, loosen up. I don't have great hopes. But as I walked out of the shop,
yeah,
there was a homeless man who I don't like to say this, but who I think strategically sits outside when it's raining.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And seems nice enough, but it's like, okay. Who I think said to me, keep singing.
Oh, I love that.
And I think that's what he said. I said, excuse me? And he said, keep singing. Yeah! And carried on. I don't...
keep singing.
I was singing. I don't think I... sing in public. I don't know why he said that, unless, you know, maybe it's just like a thing he says to people.
Probably. Yeah.
Be lucky. Keep singing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his email signature.
Yeah.
I love that. He said singing, and keep singing. That's what that made me think of. So the silent retreat has been moved.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah, very good. I definitely need to be quiet. So I'm excited to get an opportunity, because no one else gives me that opportunity to not talk.
That's such a lovely way of saying, I'd like to present to you the opportunity to not talk. Shut the fuck up.
I mean, this is a...
Can I invite you?
This is the episode where we make each other giggle a whole bunch in the beginning.
Yeah. It's about time.
I've had this on my mind for like a couple hours since yesterday. Actually, it's been like years, but I don't even know how I want to approach this. The way that we all eat. I'm on my shit again. Sure, it's not my place. Everybody's free to do whatever they want.
Yep. We should have that as the standard caveat.
Yes, standard caveat.
You do you, but...
Standard caveat. You do you, but...
Might I just? Yes.
Okay. Some people feel compelled in their life to go into public office for the greater good. They want to, or they become activists, you know, and they fight for what's right. I just feel so strongly that the food industry is not out for our health or well-being. It's just for money. Yeah. It's just for capitalism, and like, you're very tuned into this. I don't think a lot of people are.
No, absolutely.
And I like that's. I feel like part of one of my biggest like desires is to wake people up to that. That we are being lied to and manipulated just for profit, and our bodies are suffering the consequences for it.
I also think this is not unique to food. I think it's in medicine. I think it's even in the spheres that I run in. It's in
sure.
It's one of the things that I've sort of been thinking about as a being anti the promises and the just bullshit about what can be achieved. Here's this creator story who went from zero to 100,000 followers or whatever, and it's like it's all and the promises that get made and the expectations, it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's all perpetuating the same thing that's emblematic of this lovely thing. I think that started to open my eyes a little bit was someone posted I'm seeing a lot more anti LinkedIn content at the moment, which is making me smile. Uh-huh. And this one was like, you know, you have that form of meme, which is like dialogue between two parties. And so it's like LinkedIn colon, you should have a bright colored background in your avatar because it will make your avatar stand out. Mm-hmm. Next line is like everyone colon. And then it's just a picture of a grid of like 24 avatars that have all got the same exact shade of yellow background. And
lemmings.
Yeah, I had a come to someone moment today of just going, when everyone is telling you to stand out.
Yeah.
When you are okay, it is developing even further. Mm. I'm part of the Podcast Marketing Academy, which is run by a chap called Jeremy Enns, who has got a big old brain on him when it comes to marketing. And one of the things he talks about is having what is called a spiky point of view, which is not something that he credits himself with. It's created by someone else as an idea. And I think I'm developing my spiky point of view, which is if someone else tells you how to stand out, you have to run a mile from that advice.
Yeah.
Because if you are getting on-demand advice, one to many, if you're getting broadcast advice on how to stand out, you are getting bad advice. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's getting the same advice. Mm-hmm. Then everybody stands out, then no one stands out.
Yep. I love that.
The difficulty is, how do you stand out? And the answer is, it's hard. That's why everybody's trying to stand out. And back to food.
No, it doesn't have to be back to food. You're right. This is kind of about everything. I've maintained for...
Everything is everything.
For a while, for sure, that I'm an anti-capitalist. And I don't know. Just nothing is dissuading me from that. Yeah, man, I don't really have too much more on it. I'm just kind of like...
That's okay. Wanting, more and more, I keep hearing, and I've got to... At some point, I need to find the right... In fact, I should ask the guy that I'm working with at the moment, I might make a point to do this now, is I need the right entry text into Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time I hear a Buddhist teaching, I'm like, seems legit.
Yeah.
Like,
sounds true.
Even the acknowledgement, you know, because there's this sort of incorrect view that, you know, Buddhism eschews material possessions, and it doesn't. It doesn't eschew you making money. It's really there. It's about the delta between what you want and what you have. Or really, it's about the want. That's the point. It's trying to eliminate the idea of want.
Yeah.
Because it's the attachment to that causes suffering. Mm-hmm. It's not the lack of the thing. It's the attachment to the lack of the thing. And there's so much, and you know this, but like there's so much of that, and so much of the stuff where it's like, oh, you think... It's almost the epitome in religious circles of like, do the thing, but don't be weird about it. Like it's sort of, it takes almost everything to that. It's like, no, we have these things, but also you can look at stuff pragmatically and it's, you know, it's a religion that's got a religion, but a belief, a belief system that seems to have its head screwed on and have an understanding of itself. And, you know, I speak largely from ignorance, only picking up the scraps that I have picked up from knowledgeable people and just going, yeah, like more and more. So I'm really keen to, because I tried getting into it and I read a very, very bad book. It was a copy and paste kind of nonsense book.
I have a suggestion.
Oh, please hit me.
This is a quote from that book, I think. Actually, it's not a book. It's a series of lectures by Alan Watts.
Ah.
It has come to me in the form of an audiobook called You're It. And in that lecture series, he describes Buddhism as less like a religion and more like psychotherapy, which is just fun and interesting. What I like about this book series, this audiobook / lecture series, is it's kind of long. It's like 9 hours.
It's 12 hours and bought with one credit.
There you go.
It's now in my queue.
Amazing. Yeah. What I like about it is it goes from really low-level fundamentals described in, I feel like, a uniquely Alan Watts way. So it's, if you're not already reading a bunch of Alan Watts, it's kind of new, to very detailed and high level stuff in Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, and other areas, and how they've informed each other and evolved over time, and what they kind of like came from and mean. And you get some fresh translations of what these words mean in ways that are like kind of counter to the way that society uses them, like karma and those kind of things. And man, it's so approachable in my opinion. From my perspective, it feels very approachable. I don't know if for everybody it's the same way, but I find Alan Watts delightful. I think he is hilarious. He loves words. He loves to play with words and semantics, and
he's already my people.
Make an argument that this is logical or illogical because of words, and in a way it's hilarious and fun and great. And in a way it's also, you can kind of laugh at him because it's like, yeah, but we made up those words too. Like this is all just human behavior. So you can kind of take it both ways. And for me, as I go through, I'm thinking about it on both angles. But I can't help but be so compelled by what he says and how he says it. And it's just a joy. And this audiobook series I've listened to like 2.5 times through now. It's one of my favorite Alan Watts compilations. Because I don't think it was all recorded at one time. I think that it might have been a couple different things smashed together. It could have been all at one time, but the recordings kind of sound like they might have been taken at different times. Oh man, I would love for you to listen to this and we can talk back and forth about it. Because man, it's so fat. Man, his argument, like there's early on, there's this bit about how black implies white and white implies black. And using that as an argument for how you and I are the same person.
Mm.
And it's just glorious. Mm. It's just, ah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, man. Oh, I can't wait to hear what you think.
I love being on a constant journey. It's just, tell even 5 or 10 year ago me this. Probably 10 year ago, me this, and he'd be like, yeah, whatever. But learning, I find learning fun again.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say learning's fun because, like, it isn't for everyone.
It isn't. And it wasn't for me at all times.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is now.
There's something about, like, I think about List Envy a lot because I love that show. There was something there in an opening of curiosity that I think was, you know, really discovering, like, when you start looking into stuff that you might, and also it was the year I got therapied as well. Mm-hmm. It was a big year, 2019. It was a very, very substantial, chunky year. And I think, yeah, like I think I got opened up then. And I think I discovered a lot more curiosity. Like I really got cracked open like a little pea pod. And this sort of curiosity started leaking out. And yeah.
If I were to do another List Envy episode, my preferred topic would probably be top five self-help books.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's a really good topic.
Yeah.
It's a very good topic. Yeah. I will never consider that show cancelled. It is always on pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because I will at some point. Yeah, because I love it. And I love it more and more as the time goes on.
Hell yeah.
So you've been busy with God Mode.
I have. Actually,
care to share?
Yeah, I've actually been writing a bit, which has been great. Oh, man. I'm so excited. I came up with a cool idea, and I'm so excited. Oh, my God. I think I've mentioned before that part of God Mode is to read a bunch of books. Part of God Mode, like each level is going to have a book assignment. And that's why, I don't know if I mentioned this on the pod, but they're levels now. They're not weeks. It's not a 12-week course. It's a 12-level course. And each
Makes
level
sense.
Can be taken for as, you know, I suggest at least a week, but...
Oh,
but
no, I love that.
But no because shorter.
Levels, obviously, I was stuck on one playing Dead Space, and I only got through it a couple of days ago. And it's just like, yeah, some bits are just going to take you ages to get through.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I like that. That's really smart.
Yeah. And enabled me, like, for one, I wanted to assign a specific book for each level. But I was like, there's no way somebody is going to be able to read a book in a week for 12 weeks straight. Mm-hmm. Like, that's ridiculous to kind of ask somebody to do, even though, you know, some people could do it easily. Some people would really struggle with that. And I'm going to be providing abilities for audiobooks and other ways to get that knowledge into you, but it's still a lot to ask.
I've seen this done quite well in that. So you've got Blinkist.
Yeah.
Which is a service that summarizes books, which can be useful. But then what I've seen someone do is they took, I can't remember what the book was, but they took the Blinkist of the book and then doodled it and then recorded a screen share
of the doodle. Oh, nice.
So he was able to sort of walk through, you know, after listening to it, here's the things that spun off and here's what I thought about. So this thing connects to this idea. And it was just a way then of because I think you want to invite people who might be curious to dig deeper, because there's going to be certain things they want to dig deeper into. You know, whatever their triggers are, like if they really feel that, then they're going to think, oh, okay, you know what, I should read this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, one that springs to mind is thinking about emotional eating and the connection with food and love.
Yeah.
And then there's the, I've forgotten the author's name, but there's When Food Is Food and Love Is Love, I think. Mm. And I haven't actually got far through it yet because it requires you to sit and actually take in the sort of, it's got some guided stuff, and I want to actually make sure and do that, not just blast through it. And so, like, if that's something that resonates with someone, like, they're going to dig deep into that, whereas other stuff, they're like surface level curious. And so you being able to say, here's why, here is if you were going to read the book, what you would get out of it, I think that's really valuable.
Oh yeah, that's a really good point. And I might incorporate something like that. I've been thinking about the array of books that I plan to assign and thinking about different ways to be able to get people access to those books. And it occurred to me, I think I was thinking about a couple other things. I can't remember what was all going in my head, but the idea of a loot crate came to mind where somebody could, like, I could sell alongside the course as an optional add-on. You can buy the loot crate, which is going to come with all 13 books, because there's actually a bonus one. And then, and a few other things. I don't know if I want to reveal right away, but one of them I do want, one of them I'm pretty excited about is an idea for it, is at least, is a pair of red tinted blue light blocking glasses that are branded God Mode. They might not be red tinted. They might be more clear, but blue light blocking glasses. Yeah. That,
sorry, listener. I just mimed someone pulling down a pair of shades. And
they might be non-tinted ones so that, you know, gamers can keep seeing the color of their games and stuff. I don't know, maybe. But I've looked around at a few companies that might be able to provide, that I might be able to do a partnership with to get them, like, branded and made specifically for this. And I've got a bunch of other ideas of what to incorporate in the loot box. Yeah, I wasn't really thinking at first about selling and distributing something, but once that idea came to me, I was like, oh my God, I am so excited for this. And I would want it to come at least for like the first, like for the beta testers, the first round of people. I'm thinking about actually, you know, going on Etsy and getting a nice crate that looks kind of dope and it's branded God Mode and it like has like cool stuff and it's like a fun opening experience and everything. Oh man, I'm excited about this idea. Oh, I want the whole thing top to bottom, all the video production, the website, the experience, the whole experience to be fucking stellar. Like I want it to be so good. Like it's a premium experience.
It's got to feel premium.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Premium, yeah. You can go, you know, go on YouTube. You can get all this information anywhere you want. If you're going to be buying a premium product, I want to deliver something premium. This is the art form that I want to create. You know, I'm following along Morning Creative and being inspired by it daily to make this thing as cool and fun and that was worth it as possible.
Oh, I love that as a thing to aim for. Is like, oh yeah, totally worth it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I was thinking about that with, funnily enough, with I've had tendency to pay for rather expensive guided courses or programs, and there is a tendency to think, wow, they're overpriced or they are costly, as Merlin Mann would say. And then I was thinking. Well, I just have to say it now because I've started.
That's the rule.
Yeah. I've started speaking on stand-up course.
Mm-hmm.
One-to-one call over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Not pleasant.
Mm.
Just not in the fact that, like, the feedback wasn't pleasant. It was like, I have to cop to not coming to the call. There was an expectation, I think, that I might have a specific question to ask. And it was like, well,
oh,
I guess. But really, I thought you might have, like, notes.
Right. That makes sense.
As you see my act.
Yeah, if they've already seen it, I would expect notes as well.
And I know you made notes. I kind of thought maybe you could, like, you might have some things that you were like, it occurred to me that mm-hmm. this. And it was like, almost like... The whole call, it felt like this man did not want to be there and was like, and I even pulled him up. I was like, I, because he asked me some kind of question or whatever, and he said something, and it's like so much of his speech is, it's just, I was just like, God, talking to you is like being in, it's like talking to one of these trolls in Labyrinth who gives you a riddle or something. It's just like, it's very, and it was fucking pulling teeth. Aww. And I was really rattled. I'll be honest, mate. I was really rattled by it for the whole day.
Oh, I bet.
I was really rattled. And I was kind of annoyed with myself for being rattled. But I was really, like, it really set me on edge for the rest of the day.
Mm.
I'm kind of angry about it, I think.
Fair.
It is the difference between a £2,500 course and a £150 course.
Yeah.
Like, what I have experienced... with the higher ticket courses as a degree of care that is just like, I mean, you know, I was thinking of, it's funny actually, two high ticket things that I've entered, I've nearly bailed out on, or I've had some sort of problem and I've taken it to the person running it. And each time, like, this is a human nature thing anyway, that often we find that when we have a complaint and we bring it to the person, we have a stronger bond with that person. There's just something that happens there.
Mm-hmm.
As a psychology.
Yeah.
But also in both cases, I witnessed care. Like I witnessed, mm-hmm. and it's easy to think, you know, what a soft snowflake or whatever. And it's like, well, fine. If that's, sure. You know, how you want to go through this. But it was really interesting to get that sense and to feel what it's like when someone is just like, you called me, like, what do you want? Versus, you called me, I offered anyone to call, I said, here are times I'm available, if you would like a conversation with me, you can call me.
I created this course so that you would
this
come
course.
To, and like, so that I would give you feedback about your stand-up.
Yep. And so, like, I can cop to, you know, maybe if there were specific jokes, or was it like, I didn't realize how much of this was my responsibility.
Which, sure, it's like, yeah, all of it is. But also,
Yeah.
Like, of course there's a reason I'm wanting this one-on-one. Like, and it's not because I have a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I get that completely.
It was really, it was, yeah, I didn't enjoy the interaction.
I feel the exact same way. I just had my coaching call with Unique yesterday. And
oh, cool.
Oftentimes, I'm just at a complete loss of what to tell her. Like, I'm just like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, this month I felt pretty good. I was, you know, decent on the protocol. And I'm, you know, I've started drinking coffee now and like this and that. You know, I don't know what to say. But then she has a bunch of questions. She's probing me. She's opening me up and trying to investigate and stuff. And it's so helpful. That would be just so awkward to not have that, have the professional be somebody who's running.
And I guess to play some kind of devil's advocate, I guess there is a big difference between teaching and coaching. And I think in our circles, we very much blend the two.
Sure.
But at the same time, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to teach people a thing, it's just one of those.
Yeah, for sure.
So premium then.
I gotta go
that
premium.
That is so, yeah, because yeah, you want that experience of, okay, this was a big investment, but right from the bat, it's almost as if, wow, this person acknowledges that, like, that's always a big thing. If you can acknowledge that someone's made a big investment and you can say, listen, I know, like, you might have, you know, got some credit or you've had to save up for this. Like, I recognize you have made an investment in this. Let me show you that I'm making an investment in you.
Yeah.
And I think the loot crate is a really good big part of that. And I think, you know, one-to-one things as well.
That's also going to be a part of it. Like having, signing up for the course, you're going to get so many one-on-one calls, which I will definitely be probing and asking them questions about, not just be like, so what questions do you have? Yeah, that's a great little tip or a suggestion there. Awareness of like, not just to let it all on the consumer's end. But yeah, premium experience, man. Like, I see people promoting their courses and promoting their coaching businesses and stuff on YouTube and Insta with like little tips here and there. And I feel like, man, I have to do something just to show publicly what kind of the content will be like and to justify, you know, some people want to see like, you know, it's behind a walled garden and it's expensive. I don't want to drop that much money and have it be a bust. Also, kind of do want to keep it all contained and kind of like have it be this thing you walked in. Like when you go to, I'm sure that there's, you know, photos of any location anywhere. But like, I remember my experience of going to, now I can't remember the name of that freaking castle that Marie Antoinette and Louis the 14th built, or not built, but lived in outside Paris. Anyways, you go to a big castle and you see the garden in the back and like, sure, there's photos of it, but you don't know the experience until you walk into it. You can't really like, you can't know it until you go, and you just, it's by reputation, it's by prestige, it's built up and maintained and created for the experience, not for clips on YouTube.
I think where I go with this is, I think you've already said the point that there is knowledge. All of this knowledge is available for free. Mm-hmm. Knowledge wants to be free. Make the knowledge free. There's always I was going to say race to the bottom, which is not exactly what I mean, but someone will always take an idea that someone else has paid for and find a way to give it away for free because it helps them. You know, there's stuff that I'm sure there's stuff I've learned in the various things. Well, God, of course there is stuff I've learned in the various things that I've paid for that I then go and talk about and use as part of my, you know, shtick.
Yeah.
And so that's fine. And so rather than trying to fight that, if I were building something like this, I think I would try and share all of the information because it's not really the information that they're paying
for. No, they're paying for the experience.
Yeah. And they will only experience the experience if they decide to work with you. And I think they will only decide to work with you if they trust you. And I think they will only trust you if they know that you've got the information and you are good at conveying it and ordering it and And essentially what they're paying for is all the information that's out there in your social feed or on your blog or in your newsletter or on YouTube, but put in order.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they're paying for. And then in terms of the product, if you like, and then there is the you of it all. And actually, wow, I get to work with this guy who I've been seeing on YouTube and who's been telling me all this stuff. Yeah. And that's the product.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of not wanting to hear that advice, but I understand it's legit.
Okay. What's the resistance?
Oh, I just don't want to be on socials. I don't.
Oh, sure.
I don't.
Okay. Well,
it's so draining.
Let's make let's figure that out as my friend and patron saint of the podcast, Anna would tell us. Anna. And of course, you're part of the same group now. She's one of my seven five. Let's make not feeling like you are spreading yourself all over social media as a requirement.
Yeah.
How do you operate? How do you do this stuff outside of social media? Turns out people have built businesses.
What?
For a long time.
What?
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
No, I have two main avenues that I plan on pursuing once I start wanting to actually sell the thing. Word of mouth has worked well for me in the past. And this is pretty different. Like my first big successful business was very local, and it's very one-to-one, very one thing at a time. Word of mouth makes a lot of sense. Person gets a remodel done. They have people over that see the remodel. They talk about it with their friends. Maybe they write a review online or whatever. And it makes a lot of sense.
You know, that's exactly the same with what you're doing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's brilliant because you get to meet your friend and you're like, fucking hell, what? You've lost so much weight and you're looking so much healthier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a remodel and this is the person that I,
Yeah. Yeah, I've moved the remodels to the house body instead of the house that we live in. Yeah, no, 100%. That's exactly what I've been thinking about and like wanting.
Yeah.
I plan on doing kind of like only opening up the God mode the ability to sign up for either a limited amount of time or to select people at first to kind of get used to the experience and fine tune it and hone it so that it's what I want it to be and not just open it up to the internet. Cause like, what if it did go viral and then like 1,000 people sign up and then I'm at, way higher capacity than I could fulfill? And I don't want that. I want to keep it small. And because I want to be able to work with these people that sign up and I want them to join a corresponding Discord that goes along with it. And so that we're all kind of doing this together in packs. And even while everybody will go at their own pace, like people can talk about where they're at and what their challenges are. And you can see a little bit ahead of you of how people are working with it and this and that. But yeah, so I'm thinking like, I'm starting with a bunch of friends and a good group of people that all kind of want to do it and we can all kind of do it together. And, if these men's lives change, it's going to be pretty noticeable. And if I'm any indication, they're probably going to want to talk about it because I can't stop talking about it. And I know I'm not the same as everyone else, but it's like kind of hard not to be excited about this change. Like for me, and I think for most of the other people in this early group have, I wouldn't say suffered, but they've had this they've had this situation in their body. Maybe they haven't felt in control for a long time. And it's been maybe a struggle over years to try and find control and work on control and think they have it and lose it. And how frustrating that is. I know exactly how frustrating that is. And it feels so beyond words incredible to really grasp it and feel like, man, I get it now. I have the answers. And I really feel like I'm going to lay out everything that you need to really know in the right order and in the right way to really just be like, boom, I get it. I've got the tools and I know how to use them and I want to use them because this is fucking fun. So yeah, and so for them to tell their groups of friends, and it'll be pretty obvious to friends and family, their gamer groups and stuff, and have it, you know, maybe like do referral codes or something to get people to tell their friends, maybe. Yeah, so that's one avenue, which feels like it would grow slowly and at a good sustainable pace for me.
I do that one.
Yeah.
Just yeah, you know, by the by.
Yeah, it's just well, I mean, it's kind of built in. It's like I kind of can't do it. It's kind of like I'm starting with these, you know, with these beta testers, and like, I mean, so it's just gonna happen.
I think waiting or planning for virality, yeah. And I speak as someone who's not exactly planned for virality, but as planned for the what if this goes massive, all that stuff, and this is the big stuff I want to do, you know, like the loot crates and yeah. things, you know, and how do I do this at scale, and what's this, and I love thinking about mm-hmm. that and going in, you know, that's where my mind mm-hmm. goes. But when it comes to something like this, and I saw this in action with one of the programs that I'm on, was it started with the guy who's leading the program emailing me and saying, I'm developing this thing. There's five or six other people that I've asked, do you want to check it out? Do you want to give it a go? Yeah. Here's the information. Yeah. And it just starts like yeah. that. And in exactly the way you were doing it now. So I personally think the way you're doing it now is exactly the way to do it, is to, because you've got that natural, like so few things have that natural thing of, you know, it's almost the TV ad of like, wow, you're looking so bright and amazing. What did you do? Yeah. Well, you know, I...
Try this new cream. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, don't try the cream.
Don't try the cream. It's that kind of thing that you've got built in, and it's just then making it as easy as possible yeah. for people to share what you've got
yeah.
and just say, just go here.
Yeah.
Just go here. Here's all the stuff.
Yep. I haven't been very big into human design, which is like its own personality test. Not like the Enneagram,
yeah.
but not like
the whole thing,
yeah, astrology, yeah, yeah. but kind of its own thing. And part of my human design, so Margaret tells me, is that I connect with people through my network. I don't, like some people are connect through, you know, meeting new people or yeah, social media type stuff and you know, one to many or whatever. But I connect through my network of people, and that's how I spread out. So I feel like that resonates for me very much and feels approachable, feels comfortable, feels good. Whereas the work on social media, like it's so draining for me. It feels bad. I feel bad doing it. It's not meant for me.
That's a brilliant sign.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. I really got to listen to myself and my body. That's what Godmo teaches me to do.
There you go. Yeah. So just, make the program then and get the marketing going by just greasing the wheels from the people who already exist, who have already seen the benefits, you know. I mean, especially, mate, if you get to tap into this this
so
whole
excited.
thing, he says pointing at himself,
I'm so excited,
and break into this shell,
yeah,
like people ain't gonna get a word in edgeways. I'm constantly going to be telling people, you know what I mean? Because yeah. you'll be like, it worked on me. Me, it worked on.
See, that's the thing. I feel the exact same way. It worked on me. This can work on freaking yes. anybody. And like, yeah. Yeah, I feel yeah. like a lot of the people that are going to resonate with this are going to feel the same way. And so that's really exciting to me. So my other avenue a possibility that I've thought of for marketing, it's also pretty local and small to start, and it's something that I haven't been doing a lot of work on recently, but I have started doing some work towards, which would be to become a certified yoga instructor and working for a yoga studio and for, you know, doing a men's yoga class where I, you know, have a sign saying interested in some health coaching, try out God Mode, interested in a course to help you actualize yourself, check out God Mode, like, you know, something like that. I don't know. Mention it at the end of class, like, oh, you're, so it'd be small and local, but I would have fresh people that I don't know. They're outside of my normal circle getting exposed to this new concept and project.
Is that a now question, or is that once you've gone through the beta testing process question?
I mean, I wouldn't be doing it now for sure. That would start in a year at the earliest, because I haven't even finished the trauma-informed web series teacher training course that I started. And so I would need to finish that. And then I would want to do probably a 200 and a 300 hour teacher training courses to feel comfortable enough to be moving people's bodies and telling them what they should be doing and everything. So,
well, that's cool. Just because, again, I have a tendency towards all or nothing thinking. So take this with as many pinches of salt or grains, if you like, as you need to. I do feel like getting the first iteration and being able to do that in front of a friend. Like, if I think about, silly analogy, but like, let's say I were to think I could do this stand-up thing and go and gig. I'm playing to a friendly crowd on Monday, and that's really helpful. It's good for the confidence, and it also helps me actually figure out where the, like, if there wasn't a lull, that's okay. It's a friendly crowd. No one's going to throw a glass bottle at me. And so it's really good to be able to use as much of us as your beta testers as possible to be able to, you know, hone this and continue to hone it before necessarily introducing it out to the world. I don't know why so much of my advice I don't fucking listen to.
Tell me about it.
But that's, yeah. You know, and I think for some, maybe there's some things or whatever, like, we're thinking about, I know what this could be. Mm-hmm. I know what the scale is. And it's like, we're trying to be over there. Yeah. Where this you know, made up idea of what the program is going to be is over there. And it's like, yeah, but you have to take some steps to get there. So, you know, this actually feels like a really good, solid step, because so often with these programs, you're, and I've absolutely, you know, faced the same thing of like emailing a whole bunch of people because I think the difficulty sometimes is, some of us, you are excluded from this because you know exactly who you are doing your thing for. But I think it's very easy to get an idea of, this is the thing. I know this will be useful. I wonder if I can find anybody who knows anybody who needs this.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, here's, I know some people who I actually know who could use this. There's such a, well, there's such a huge difference, and it makes so much of that process a lot easier, because you almost don't have to sell it. All you've got to do is have the conversation, say, is this something you are open to? It would help me right from the beginning if you do this. And then everything else, once they've gone through the program, everything else is then about closing the sale.
And that is completely how sales works for me. Being an anti-capitalist, I've told clients this over the years. Like, I would much prefer that we didn't have a money exchange. I did this project for you, and then I was just fine. Like, you know, like, that's what the way I want things to be. And I'm in this capitalist society, and I do need the money for things, and I would like financial security over the long term. So I am going to be charging money for it, but that's just icky.
I did hear a great, this was communism, which doesn't have to be the, you know, the opposite to capitalism, but it was a really interesting thing about where it falls down, by the way. I thought it was interesting because I'd never really heard this expressed that well. And it was to do with like quality of service, because this was actually found out to be true it was a communist country. I don't know if it was Russia. It might have been China where... No, I think it was Russia, where a bunch of bolts were made. So basically, you had these different bolt manufacturers, and they all, it was something like bolts, basically a very commoditized, you know, component, where there were like, you know, four, basically three factories, three, you know, they would have been different brands back in the day. And they all contributed their bolts into a big bolt repository. And so they were all unmarked. And so there was just, you buy your bolts from the bolt buying place. You don't buy your bolts from a specific brand. The problem then they discovered is they all got paid the same. So they all started making, or one company started making substandard bolts. Then you don't know which one's making the substandard bolts. They do it because there's no incentive. And that's why there was no incentive for them, because they had no brand. They had no brand reputation, because that's what brand is. It's reputation. They had no reputation to uphold because they were anonymized. And I just thought that was such a really interesting look into that particular aspect. And actually, why charging stuff?
For sure.
Why charging a particular price is useful and important, because it's your brand.
Is a method of providing incentive to
keep
the quality high. But it doesn't have to be the only method of incentive, I think. It's just the one that we've lazily kept around, because it does work. Yeah, it does work for that very well. But I can say, like, I'm not doing this for the money. I'm making this for me. Like, I'm not only, like, I have my potential buyer in mind. Like, I have the persona or whatever. I know who I'm targeting. And that person is me. Like, that person is me from 10 years ago. And that person is me from right now. I'm so excited to make this product so that I can go through it myself. And other people coming along with me or trying it out on their own, like, freaking bonus. Like, that's, I hope it helps other people. And, you know, I started this by thinking about this episode, by talking about, like, activism and doing something for the greater good and all that. And I have those energies in me, but this product, I'm just excited to make it because I want it to exist for me. And if it doesn't sell, like, bummer. I don't think it won't sell. I think it's going to do really great, because I think I'm going to make something that's super compelling and kick ass.
The wording there, like, I'm already sold. We're going to be doing this.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm the only one.
No, I don't think so either. I know you weren't, actually, because I have other people that are really just as excited as you to start it out.
And so where's the selling?
I'm not a salesperson. I have tried doing sales a couple times. I've had some different, like, outbound call center jobs that were horrible. Mm-hmm. And I worked at Apple. I worked in an Apple store for like 2 weeks. And they told me, well, I worked for about 4 weeks, because 2 weeks was the training. And then I was about 2 weeks on the actual show floor. My numbers weren't high enough. And they told me, like, I was being primed to be a genius in the back and just be like working on the computers and helping people fix them. But they have to have you go through being on the floor to do sales first, because dumb. Anyways, I couldn't get my numbers up because I have to believe so fully in what I'm selling to be able to sell it, because I'm not selling it. I'm just excited about the thing. Like, I went to a Fry's electronics store once, and somebody was asking, it was like years ago, and somebody was asking me if they should get the HD DVD or the Blu-ray player. And I, like, started going off on the Blu-ray player, and he's like, wait, do you work here? Like, because you just sold me on this. And I'm like, oh no, I'm just really excited about the thing.
And this is the thing. So where people get hung up on sales is because they are so used to being sold something that they do not want or need, rather. They might want it, but they don't need it.
Yeah.
And that's the difference here, is that you're not selling something. And that, this is where part of the argument of, there's a whole marketing journey that you can take people on, which is the journey of consciousness. And the whole purpose of the journey of consciousness, which is an old idea, comes from the 50s or 60s, is that really by the end of it, the sale is really just, do we gel? Is this a good fit? Do I like you? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because all the other stuff is them realizing it fits their need, because you're talking to the need that they have. You're not trying to find people you're trying to find people who need this. Like, it's not like you've got this thing and then you're just trying to shove it in people's faces. Mm-hmm. And say, do you need it? Do you need it? Like, how we take people on the journey of consciousness outside of social media, because again, this is a 50, 60 year old idea. but it is about what you put out into the world that meets people at different stages of that journey,
yeah,
and just gently inclines them if they're curious to move to the next stage. Mm-hmm. And at no point are you selling them something that they don't want or need. And so you should never, my man, have any pressure or feel any pressure about that, because you're never going to be selling something to someone, and you have no desire to sell something to someone that they don't need.
Correct.
So it should, like, I never want you to feel icky, because you, if you're in that position, then it's because there's a part of that connecting, like, no, like, trust, like, journey of consciousness thing that's been broken, and you're, you know, there with a complete stranger. Who,
yeah.
And that's the problem with the whole viral thing. Like, you go viral.
Right, right.
You might end up with a bunch of people who are contacting you being like, all right, bro, like, how do I get these gains or whatever? And it's like, no, that's completely not what we're talking about. That's not exactly. Like, or, you know, or just want to call you up and go, okay, what are the powders that I buy? What are the beans that I should eat? You know, what's the stuff? And it's like, no, again, it's not really about that.
Right.
And you know, you think this is a sales call. Like, the sales call is the last bit at the end, once they know quite a lot about the product already and what the thing is. The last bit is just like, here's how it works. Here's the price. Do you feel comfortable? Are you happy? Do we like each other?
Yeah.
Here's the Stripe link, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
To have something that sort of doesn't really need selling, I think is...
Yeah, precisely.
And I think you do. I mean, who knows? Like, I haven't gone through the program yet, but, you know...
Oh, I hope you like it. Oh, I hope you like it. I mean, I know you will, but also, oh, I hope you like it. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, I've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. If I could offer any advice.
Oh, please do. I always take it.
I will just say the words, and then we can pick them apart if they sound shitty. Is to work more / as much as you can on the content of the thing. Rather than the website and the video and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because again, you will need those at some point. Maybe you won't. But again, like, you've got a thing that you're going to deliver to 4 or 5 people. Get cracking on that.
Yeah. And that is definitely what I'm working on.
But I'm not giving...
No, that's great advice, and I am following it. The website I have, like, ideas for, and I have the concept of it in my head. And honestly... Once, down the road, this isn't version one, but down the road, I want to talk to you about like hiring you for your mad coding skills and making some sort of interesting website experience that's beyond the capabilities of or expanding on the capabilities of what Squarespace or wherever I go has.
Yeah, I think there is a lot to be gained, and it might be something that we end up coming back to as a society, because, you know, like, there was the WordPress era where everything was WordPress, and then we went screw WordPress, Squarespace and Wix, and I have no problem with those websites at all. I did for a bit, because I think I probably felt threatened by them. That's the beauty of you know, not mobbing in those kind of spaces anymore. There is such a great thing when you sort of go fully custom to be able to do some funky stuff that kind of surprises people, because they don't expect. They're like, how do you build that on Squarespace? And I didn't use Squarespace, because everybody else, again, you know, going back to the bringing us full circle, like, yeah. So that would be a fun thing. I mean, my coding days for other humans are probably behind me, but I am very much into, like, directing someone that you can then hire on Fiverr. You know what I mean? Of like, here's what we build, here's what you need, that kind of thing is quite fun, and could lead us into something that we can talk about next week, because I'd love to have a chat with you about Morning Creative, but we can table that for next week.
That sounds great. Well, I gotta tell you, Mark, keep singing. Keep singing.
And as always, correct me if I'm singing.
Oh, correct me if I'm singing. Oh, beautiful.
Sorry. I know you know that, but I was so excited.